You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 59 of Well Met. I am John Horstman, centered out of Denver, Colorado, and with me, of course, is the crew first from Saskatoon, Canada. It's Kevin Obdestad. Hey, Kev.
What's up, John? Good to be here. I'm super excited to do a very cool show this week. It's nice to be actually playing Old Gods after talking about it for what feels like forever. And the cards have made the game crazy. And I know we've talked at length before about how you and I prefer the solved meta and getting to really play at the highest level with the figured out puzzle. But there is something just awesome about playing with all the new cards, running into things you haven't seen. And we're going to talk about it on the show tonight, so I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed we are. We've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, Old Gods is live, but the oldest of the gods is Mr. Loktar O'God himself.
Loktar O'God.
J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R., how you doing, man?
Wow.
Welcome back.
I don't even know what to say about that, man. That was just rude.
That wasn't that bad.
I am pretty old, so, you know,
you are pretty old.
Fair enough. I'll take it. Just for the fact that I've been having so much fun playing this new expansion anyway.
That's good.
So I'm in a good mood because of that.
All right. Well, tell us about it.
You can knock me down, but I'll be in a good mood.
I know you've had a pretty insane week in Hearthstone, so why don't you tell our listeners about it?
Yeah. So you guys have been hearing me for the last few weeks where I'm like, I don't want to level up because, you know, I'm waiting for the new expansion. I want to play standard. And so I didn't even touch ranked. And then Tuesday launches. I decide, okay, I'm going to jump into ranked, play some standard, get going. Went from 15 to 5 relatively quickly. Yesterday, I jumped up to rank 1 and dropped down to rank 2 right before the season ended. And I'm like,
bad, man.
I would have. 4 days, almost legend. So
that deserves a big applause. That I'm going to cut off right here because it's way too long of an applause.
That is
and I still haven't gotten a shorter
world's
one.
World's longest applause.
So I started playing today. I started playing today, and I'm up to rank 11 right
nice.
Now.
Nice, dude. You're
which
crushing.
Which isn't too bad.
Right
I had
now.
Like a 15-1 win streak. I'm playing a hybrid shaman. I haven't seen the deck list because it's one that I kind of tweaked on my own.
A JR
see a lot of
special.
People.
I love those.
Yeah, it's a JR special hybrid that I'm not going to post until I get up higher. So you guys will have to wait and see.
Top of the meta decks coming from JR. Cook,
JR's 11 secret
podcast.
Herbs and cards.
I love it. How about you, Kev? Oh, wait. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'll just explain the deck just a little bit. It is a cross between aggro and mid-range. It is very similar to a lot of the shaman decks you're seeing right now. But it's got a few different cards that I don't think other people are really playing in this style of deck. So it's been doing pretty well for me. And it floods the board really well, gets going. So I'm usually winning either really early or I control the late game. So it's been pretty cool.
How could you ask for anything else?
Yep.
Win early, win late, whenever. Just win.
Just win.
Got it.
That's nice. All I do right now.
No just matter win. What? What?
Nope.
All right, stop. Kev, tell us about your week in Hearthstone.
It's not as exciting as JR's, I will admit, but I didn't play a lot, honestly, after we did our little pack opening stream because my cards were so bad. I was so disappointed
was
with the cards I opened.
So
it was tragic.
He was
it was actually
so
tragic.
Salty.
I was mad. I was actually mad. So I just took a couple days away from the game, tested out my streaming setup over the weekend, and I can stream at like flawless quality, no issues. It's just beautiful, no hiccups. I streamed all day yesterday and just it was never a single bump in my bitrate or any lost frames or anything, which was great. So gonna be doing a lot more of that. And because I was doing that last night, I finally caved. I was watching the new Rocket League Championship series while it was on, and I bought 60 more packs.
Oh,
so I opened a bunch
my.
Of cards, got a few things that didn't suck. put some decks together, crushed out Gold Shaman. I hit Gold Shaman earlier today, so I've got 6 of the 9 classes to gold now. And I started after that playing some Dragon Priest. I made my own take on Dragon Priest this afternoon that has been a lot of fun, and I'm ranking up slow because I haven't been playing a ton of games, and they tend to take quite a while, right? Priest games are not quick or easy, but I'm really enjoying it and having a lot of fun with it. I think I'm sitting at about rank 15, but I think May is a month where I know I've got a little bit of traveling to do, but I'm probably going to shoot for Legend if I get a chance. And I'll probably toss those decks out in the Facebook group later. So if you guys want to see the Priest deck that I'm running, I won't be like JR. I won't hide it from the public, but I will share it with our patrons. John, what have you been up to in Hearthstone this week?
JR, I challenge you. You should put your deck list as well in our Facebook group.
I'll do that. I'll for sure do that. So if you're a patron, I will post the deck list for you.
Boom. Get to Legend JR style. All right. So as for me, it's been a really difficult month balancing the podcast, apartment searching, playing Hearthstone. So I didn't get to play a lot. I did get up to rank 5, which was nice. Play a little bit of like that aggro-y mid-range overload-ish shaman. Having a lot of fun with that. Nice thing I like about that deck is you don't have to think very much. So on the 2 nights in the past 3 weeks that I've gotten to drink, I drank heavily and streamed that and still was winning games. So that's always great. So yeah, besides that though, really solid week, solid month overall for the amount of time I got to play. I'm happy getting up to rank 5 and I'm hoping to have a lot more time now that school is literally after tomorrow. I have like 2 things and I'm done. I'll be back to normal. Stop losing my hair. Start getting a tan again, going outside, things like that. So it'll be a really good time.
That sounds like it'll conflict with your ability to rank up in Hearthstone. I don't know if I agree with that.
I can tan and play Hearthstone.
Yeah. All right, if you say so.
Poolside with the iPhone, done.
I have visions of you just like laying there trying to play and there's like an iPhone sized like block on your chest where you didn't tan properly.
Oh my gosh, that's freaking brilliant. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the news then, gents.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
We've got a lot of new things in Hearthstone, but first we do want to thank our friends of the show whose names disappeared. There they are, Sean G, Martin Z, and Albert T. Thank you guys so much for your support. If you want to know more, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Haven't had a new one in a little bit. We're really close to our next milestone. So if you like the show, want us to be keep doing more of these types of things and streams and stuff like that, go check out our Patreon. So first, guys, Old Gods came out. I want to hear your guys' opinions on everything. Really smooth launch overall. A little bit of influx when it first came out. Within about the first hour, though, sounds like everything was easy peasy. But besides the operational standpoint of Hearthstone, just Old Gods in general, how are you enjoying the game so far? JR, I'll pass it to you.
This is the most fun I have had in Hearthstone since beta. That's all there is to it right now, because everything right now is really fresh and new, especially if you're playing standard, where it's just no holds barred, all new decks. You don't see a lot of the old same stuff coming up all the time. You see a little bit here and there, but with all the new cards, it's very control heavy meta right now, mid-range meta right now, which is nice as everybody's kind of just experimenting and trying to see what's going to stick and what's not. It's really a fun time to be in Hearthstone, like at this moment, before like, 3 or 4 weeks from now when people start figuring the meta out and figuring out what's going to stick, and then everybody's playing the same decks over and over and over and we get sick of it and complain about it. But as of right now, it's a lot of fun, and I really am glad that they did this standard way of doing things. It made it so the game is going to be this fresh for years to come as they come out with new expansions. So I'm hyped. I love it.
So, Kevin, on a scale of 1 to JR, how hyped are you about the expansion so far?
I'm probably going to be the disagreeable person on the show this week, and not in the way you might think. Old Gods for me has been kind of take it or leave it. There's not a lot of cards I'm super excited about. There's things about the Old Gods themselves that I don't love. I don't love how people are playing the game because of C'Thun, and the fact that everyone got C'Thun makes it so common, makes it so constant on the ladder right now. And it's just not an interesting way to play the game. It's like a weird solitaire that you're playing on the board without really worrying about what your opponent is doing. The game has lost, I think, some of the complex interactivity that existed beforehand. However, having said that, I think Standard is the best thing they've ever done for the game, and I love Standard. Regardless of what you think of the new expansion and some of the cards that are like, maybe good, maybe not, most of my fun right now has been going back and finding the cards from Grand Tournament and League of Explorers that were really underutilized, and the interactions that you can pull off using cards that now feel like you can get value out of them because you're not competing with Shredder and Belcher and Healbot and Lotheb and the stuff that we all needed to see go away. I think the game is in the best place it's ever been because of the rotation. Old Gods, I think, when we look back years from now, is going to be an expansion where people go, okay, they wanted the game to be played a very specific way, and they dumped a lot of cards into the ecosystem to force that. I think when we get the next set, whether it's an adventure or another expansion, we're going to see more spells, more reactionary opportunities, more board clears, stuff that's going to make people start and have to do the math again, not just play the best thing they can on curve, because that was what was wrong with the game before Standard. But right now, because of the rotation, because of the card nerfs, the game feels really healthy. Every class has multiple archetypes that feel like they work. You can iterate, you can experiment. I've got deck lists on my account right now that you would never have caught me dead even trying before Standard. I've got a Reno Rogue. I've got four different kinds of Shaman. I'm running a modified Patron Warrior with like Malkarok in it. Like, there's stuff that just you would not have had the opportunity to enjoy when you had to figure out, can I efficiently trade into Shredders and Belchers? So I think it's great. I'm super thrilled with the game. Old Gods, 6.5 out of 10.
That's okay.
I like the reference.
I think I'm going to split you two in the middle a little bit here. I feel like I'm at about an 8. There's a couple things I really love. We're seeing a lot of classes that we weren't seeing a lot of, and a lot of different archetypes from those classes. We're seeing, you know, Death Rattle Hunters, Malkarok Warriors, right? Warrior. So we're seeing a lot of really cool experimentation that's doing fairly well. There are some things I'm not liking. I said it, I don't call things often. So when I do and I get it right, I like to make sure everyone knows it. But I kind of called the C'Thun gimmick a little bit, where it's like the same set and then C'Thun, the same neutral cards, and then your powerful class cards to kind of fill it out. And like, that's all the differentiation there is. But it's a great way for budget players to have a competitive deck because it is powerful. It still provides variety. I think there's a lot of great variety right now. I mean, Zulok is still really strong. Aggro Shaman has kind of morphed a little bit, but is still very strong. And, you know, Druid's doing really well with a couple of different decks. So, I mean, from that perspective, like, there's still some things that really haven't changed, but still, Hearthstone is way better now than it was a week ago by leaps and bounds. I do like Old Gods, but I like it in spite of the actual Old Gods.
And some of our complaints are also very time specific, right? We are complaining about the things that are noticeable on like day 4 or whatever of this expansion. For all intents and purposes, it hasn't been out for a week. We don't know anything yet. Everybody's playing C'Thun because everybody has C'Thun. I think the variety, the interactivity will come back as people start to see the other cards round out their collections and get the opportunity to explore what is and isn't working, because there is variety on the ladder even right now. It's still too early to call what's going to be popular, what's going to be efficient, what's going to be played by the free-to-play accounts versus what's going to be played by the people who are trying to compete for Legend, right? And that happens a month in, like JR said, so.
And yeah. I think with the C'Thun decks, like, the C'Thun decks we're seeing today aren't going to be the C'Thun decks that we see, you know, a month from now by any stretch of the imagination.
I saw a C'Thun Reno Freeze mage today. That's probably not going to be a viable archetype down the road, but somebody's trying to make it work.
Whoever you are running that, get out of here. Gosh, dang.
It was bad. It was bad.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, cool. I'm glad to hear that you guys are, for the most part, enjoying it, at least having positive feelings about it. We have some other ways to express ourselves in Hearthstone, though, which is kind of cool. So you no longer have to say oops when you top deck. Now you get to say that that's incredible.
You mean sorry? Great.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Dang it. You're right. Sorry. Sorry is...
You can't say that anymore.
As Mr. Kevin Hovdesetta said it, sorry is no longer in the game. It's been replaced by wow. You can still say oops. You can't say sorry.
You made an oops. You just can't apologize for it.
You just can't pull a Canadian. So I like this because it's way more sassy and I love to BM. So, and I'm very good at BMing. If you've ever hung out for our post show streams or came and hang out on my personal stream, I am the king of the BM. And so love this change. Best change that we've seen since standard for sure. And so I'm all about it. JR, how do you feel about this new change?
Very first thing I did was I had another screen open on my other monitor, and I was probably surfing Reddit or something stupid like that, and I forgot to hit in turn. So I started roping. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I went to right click and go to sorry, but now it's wow. And my guy goes, that's incredible. I'm like, oh, well, unintentional BM. So that's my experience with it. That's the only reason I ever use the sorry, though, is when I did something stupid like that. And then
you use
like,
that a
just
lot,
to
don't
let
you?
The player know. Yeah, all the time. Ooh. Just to let the player know that, hey, that was unintentional. Now I don't really have a way of doing that. So that kind of sucks. But I actually like the emotes for, you know, especially there's different styles. Like, you know, Jaina sounds really bored when she does it. She's like, amazing. But then Thrall is just like, that's incredible.
Those are really, you know, I'm grabbing those sound bites, right?
That's fine.
You know that.
You'll use them against
me. The JR, that's incredible. We'll go straight into the Patreon folder.
Yeah.
And you can have that as your text tone. It'll feel awesome. Well, that's good. Kev, how do you like it? Are you more of a BM master?
No. Not really. I mean, people who have watched us stream or play together, as you sit there and you're like, greet him. It's
greet
not my thing.
Greet him.
But I don't know. I actually liked being able to apologize. Like if I felt bad because somebody made, well, no, because people would make a mistake and you don't want to call them on it and hit the oops button. So if they like ended their turn prematurely or forgot to attack with a minion, I'd apologize and be like, well, that sucks. Sorry, dude. And can't do that anymore. So, I mean, I would say it's a net zero change from my perspective because I like apologizing, but it's my Canadian,
he's Canadian
is showing.
Though, yeah.
My Canadian is showing. Jeez. I understand. I apologize. It's what I do. It's not like it's a bad thing. It does mean that they've been recording new voice acting, which maybe is indicative that there's going to be some more stuff coming out down the road, because there's no way they brought in all the voice actors to do all of the characters in Hearthstone to do one emote a piece. So
that's true.
Take that for what it's worth. There's probably more coming.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever be able to buy emotes?
God, I hope not. And like, that would be the worst.
Like have like three slots. So you have like hello, or like be able to buy different threats or something like that,
I don't think so. I think that would be way too. It would be way too specific of a thing, even as a cosmetic thing. And people want more value than that, right?
I think it's not way like too microtransaction.
Exactly. Yeah. People want a little bit more
wise,
for what
it kind of sucks.
Spend. Yeah, exactly. No, it would be too messy. I don't
but
think so.
At the
so.
Same time,
I can see you buying packs of emotes for like all of the characters. They all get like three new ones or something like that. I can see them doing something like that.
I think they'll just solve it with more characters. Like now that we've seen them go to three mages, I think if they want that kind of variety, they'll introduce alternate emotes on alternate characters. So if you buy the new druid skin, instead of saying wow, you can say like, I don't know, whatever the new emote would be. It could be anything. It could be an alternate threat. It could be a concern emote, whatever, like who knows.
Well, I'm talking about just completely different ones.
I know. I hear what you're saying. I just think it would be tied to characters, not to, to the whole game.
I want 6 different versions of hello as my emotes.
What you want is to just be able to make the old Annoyatron sound over and over.
That's true.
That's what I want.
All right. So glad to see we're super passionate about wow. But we have some new card backs. So 3 new card backs coming in. I forgot the name of all of them.
Shadow Moon Valley, which is the one in May. Zoldrak, which is the one in June, and Half Hill, which is the one in July. So we have the next 3 months of card backs already straightened out.
Which they tend to do. They usually launch them like 3 at a time in, and then we data mine them out and decide which ones we like. What do you guys think about these ones? Like them? I'm honestly kind of apathetic. I feel like as the group of threes that we've gotten so far, I'm sad to say these are my least favorite. I like the Half Hill one a lot. It reminds me of Pandaria, which is kind of fun. Reminds me of Mop. But besides that, I'm like, they're all right. Stick with Tespa for now.
I think I'd have to see them animated. But I'm with you. There's other card backs I enjoy using more. And I don't see me using these. I will collect them, though, because I have them all except for the weird, like, golden Chinese one that is somehow still in my collection to just mocking me to let me know I will never have it.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they've done some really cool ones that were like easily accessible like this, like ranked rewards and stuff like that. The Hogger one back in March was really good. Some of the ones they did in previous years, people really loved, like the Cupcake one was really popular. The Rainbow one from way back in 2014, people still love. But it seems like the seasonal ones are maybe some of the less interesting ones on the whole. Like, the good artwork has gone into the ones that come with alternate characters. It's gone into the ones that come with adventure modes. It's gone into the one that comes with pre-orders. To say nothing of the coolest ones, like the Tespa one or the Power Core one for being at an esports event. Like, those are the ones where they've really knocked it out of the park. If you don't have it yet, go get the Overwatch one. Overwatch coming out later this month, and the card back that comes with that is so good.
I finally pre-ordered.
Good man. Good man.
So, sorry. Side note.
But yeah, the new ones, I mean, like JR said, Half Hill's not bad. Animated versions might sell me on them slightly more, but on the whole, these are fine. I don't think I'll use them. I will probably get rank 20 every month, so I'm not really worried about it. But
I would hope so.
I don't think I'll play with them.
I think we should actually, this is a pact right now. If any of us don't get rank 20 in a season, can't be on the show.
You're fired, yeah.
You're fired. So just saying, you need to put at least that amount of work into the game. You
need to play that one game a month to make it happen.
Yeah,
I think I start higher than rank 20 most months.
Right, that's why I say just play the one game.
And it's nothing against people who want to just play up to rank 20 and do that, but
or they're messing around on a free-to-play account or whatever.
We have a social responsibility to play the game that we're talking about. We'd feel really bad to do it. And Freshka is in chat, and he said he'll take any of our jobs at any point, so we should probably do that.
They took our jobs.
Let's move on here. So we've got another Old Gods card review. So we've got 68 cards to go through this week, and we're going to talk about each of them in, you know, full.
Go get Frustrate and bring him on. He can replace me.
No, sorry. I was just so used to doing card reviews for the past, like, a million weeks.
I could see the aneurysm going right there.
I hit the autopilot button and be like, okay, and we're going to go ahead and talk about some of these Hearthstone cards here. We're not. Good news, we're not. We are going to be bringing back a very popular segment called Where Are They Now? And I promise next time we do this, I'll have a bumper for it. But until then, that's it. Where Are They Now is where we go back and revisit some cards that have fallen out of favor in Hearthstone. For whatever reason, unpopularity, they were forgotten. Tice and Savitz didn't run them that week, and so naturally they're not in any of the decks. Whatever. But they're starting to show relevance again, and we want to start talking about them and talk about where are they now and what they're doing and what they're bringing to those specific decks and classes. That's where are they now? And Kev, I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, so we're going to jump through five cards today that have either flourished or floundered in the new meta since Old Gods have been out. A lot of the cards that people are seeing on the ladder right now and really talking about aren't necessarily the new Old Gods cards. They're cards that came out back in Grand Tournament, League of Explorers, that just didn't see a lot of play because they didn't fit in the traditional archetypes that were so well refined after so many months of play. And the first one we're going to talk about is a Shaman card that has made a huge, huge appearance for a variety of reasons, because it fits basically back into every deck, and that's Tuskar Totemic. So Tuskar Totemic is a 3-mana, 3-attack, 2-health minion that summons a random totem out of any of the totems that can be summoned in the game. That includes the playable totems, like Totem Golem, or Manatide Totem, or Flametongue Totem. This is a card that always, always looked really good on paper, because it was going to give you an acceptable stat line spread across two bodies for the 3-mana cost, but it was just way too slow in the old meta. Now, it's really popular because the extra bodies are setting up Bloodlust kills, the totems are contributing to your ability to play a discounted thing from below, which is huge, because that 5-5 body for 6, most people are playing, honestly, for like 1 or 2 mana in a typical game where they're using all of the different totems, Totem Golem, Flametongue, that kind of stuff, to curve up towards it. It sets up really nice on-curve plays where if you've managed to like coin out a Flametongue totem against your Trog or something, you can actually get a Totem Carver down, which people haven't seen in forever, if ever, honestly, and get like a 5-5, 6-6 body with no overload, which as compared to paying 4 for the 7-7 with 2 overload, looks really good if you can pull it off. I think this is a card that was just... We all were super excited about it, and we all said this was one of the cards that could really help bring Shaman back into relevance when they announced it, and then it really didn't. But now, I see this in every Shaman deck. Aggro, mid-range, everything except for the truly, like, Halazil Malagos control variants runs this card. JR, are you surprised to see this card make a comeback?
No, I'm not surprised at all, mainly because of the thing from below. If you can do it right, you can get a 5-5 thing from below with taunt down on turn 4 by using this. You know, the days of overload Shaman are still around, but not as huge anymore. You can now run Shaman without overload, and Tuskar Totemic is, it's a decent 3-body, 3-2. If you can get it like with a Flametongue totem or a Manatite totem, it's really awesome. Even if you get it with like a regular totem,
Golem is great.
Totem Golem as well. The other thing is, if you don't have a if you don't have a thing from below on turn 4, you can also, and I can't remember the name now. It does the evolve Flame thing. It's a 4-5.
Master of Evolution.
Master of Evolution. 4-5,
because that's a super good on-curve play, because the Tuskar Totemic itself comes out as a 2-cost body, right? A 3-2, but you can evolve it into a 4-cost body.
Yep.
And that's a huge tempo swing as well.
Yep.
I get to turn 4 with Shaman, I play my Flame Wreath Faceless every time.
I don't even play that in my deck.
I was gonna say my mid-range Shaman doesn't use it because it's too slow, which is insane to say, but
so freaking good.
It's crazy good in the aggro variants and the overload variants. I've never opened the little 2-drop that unlocks your overloaded crystals, so I gotta get some of those before I think I would do it. But
big thing, right, is Shaman also has now 2 cards, so you can have 4 cards in your deck that can clear your overloaded mana crystals. Which really helps too. So, you know, it's in a really good spot right now. Yeah. That's for sure.
And it's opened up a ton of variants for Shaman, right? When you run into Shaman, sometimes it's aggro, sometimes it's control with a lot of spells and like late game clears. Some games you're seeing mid-range variants that are heavy on totems, and I'm seeing all of the totem cards. I'm seeing Totem Carver, I'm seeing Thunderbluff Valiant, like all of the totem cards back in play. Sometimes you're just seeing the like really, really scary fast mid range where you want to curve out really hard with, you know, a Totem Golem, a Tuskar Totemic, a Flame Wreathed Faceless, and just like hit the biggest body you can on every turn as you're getting back the mana crystals from your overload. It's scary good.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't really have anything else to add to that, but it makes total sense that it's coming back. I think the removal of a lot of the death rattle minions really helps too, because it really stinks when it, you know, it really gets crushed by just about anything. And even like a one drop with a death rattle, or like, there's just so many ways to die to leper gnome on its own. And it's, like, yeah. So it's like, there's just so many different things that it would die to. It was just too weak and a little bit too slow. But now that it's synergizing with other cards, it just makes a lot more sense. And yeah, good to see it back. Should we go on to the next one?
Yeah, definitely.
So the next one we got is Mounted Raptor. For those who haven't seen it in a while, it's a 3-mana, 3/2 druid beast with a death rattle. Summon a random 1-cost minion. Kevin, I believe this one was one of your cards that you brought up when we were talking about it throughout the week. So tell us why Mounted Raptor.
Well, Mounted Raptor was in a weird place back when it first came out, right, with League of Explorers, because it just didn't fit in what Druid was trying to accomplish. Druid was trying to get past turn 3 early on in the game. They were playing Darnassus Aspirants and Wild Growths and trying to cheat out more expensive things. If they were playing 3 drops, they were playing 3 drops they could protect, like Shade of Naxxramas, to try to build up to the big combo turn, which was their only win condition in the game. Well, now, Druid A doesn't have the ability to set up that big combo. B cares a lot more about beast synergy than it used to, and C, this is now one of the only things left in the game that has a really good death rattle effect. There's almost nothing that has the sticky presence that this does. So for Druid, it's great because you do get a sort of competitive body out on the board that you can use to trade up, trade into things, and have the follow-up body available if somebody did happen to clear your board. I think this was a card that we all sort of assumed would be a natural fit in Druid, and that they'd use it alongside Shredder. And it was just, again, too slow. Most of the actually good Druid midrange lists ran as few 3 drops as possible. There was like a tech slot on 3 where you might drop, you know, a mind control tech if you were trying to deal with a lot of zoo. I'm really happy to see this card come back because I think it's indicative of the fact that Druid has to play for the board and they want to contest the board, have something that trades up, have something that leaves a body behind in the event of a sweeper. There's really nothing like it left in Standard specifically. So this is one of those cards where Old Gods didn't do a lot for it, but the rotation did. So I'm really happy that it's back. JR, we'll just go around the table again, I guess. What do you think?
No, basically everything you said. It's got good beast synergy. I haven't ran into a lot of beast druids yet, but I have seen some good deck lists out there, people playing it. So evidently there are some really good ones out there. Like every druid I have come across lately has been playing C'Thun. So I have not actually, I have seen this card yet, but I do know that I have seen it in a lot of beast deck lists that I've seen online, but I haven't actually seen how it plays out.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's exactly it. It's special. It's got a death rattle. Yeah, so it's kind of sticking around nice and sticky. I wonder if we'll see it in some beast variants as some people try to continue to make beast druid work. I mean, I would assume we would. I don't see why we wouldn't see it in beast druid. I guess the bigger question is can beast druid be a thing? There's so many good beasts now, and there's quite a few, not quite a few, but there's a few beast synergies added. I have to look it up here because I can never freaking remember the mark of Yashiraj, where it's like give a minion +2/+2 if it's a beast, draw a card. You've got the addled grizzly, where after you summon a minion, give it +1/+1, which is a 3-mana 2/2. Yeah, there's just some really good cards coming out for Druid here.
I think you'll see the comeback of like a more aggro druid, right? Everybody right now is trying to make ramp work because they want to live the dream of playing an Ancient of War with Fandral down, or they're trying to make C'Thun druid work because nothing feels better than a turn 4 Klaxi Amberweaver that comes out as a 4/10, because it's better than a Twilight Drake, and that was what made Handlock work forever. I think people are going to go back and say, okay, I need to race at some point. I need to beat people on the board, and they're going to go back to the druid variants that run Living Roots and Druid of the Saber and Mounted Raptor and Power of the Wild and Savage Roar, and they try to set up the fast board that just kills things because nobody is playing board clears right now. They're all playing minions on curve, trying to win by having the 3-4 on 3 and the 4-5 on 4. And I think there's probably a druid list that could be built that would just play around that and beat them flat out, that doesn't need Savage Roar or doesn't need Force of Nature the way it used to work. It can do it with just Savage Roar and a whole bunch of bodies.
There was actually an aggro druid deck that was posted to Competitive Hearthstone, the subreddit, earlier today, talking about a lot of those different points.
Yeah.
Where it is exactly that. A lot of people right now for the fast decks are, you know, expecting aggro shaman and some tempo mage a little bit for those faster decks and Zulok. And so aggro druid is a really natural, like, anti-meta pick. They'd probably go in the anti-meta pick in one of your midweek reviews, Kev. And so,
yeah, and those will be back at some point, but we're waiting for things to sort of stabilize first.
For sure. For sure. Let's go on to the next one then. So the third one, Dark Iron Skulker. It's a 5-mana rare rogue minion, 4 attack, 3 health reads. Battle cry, deal 2 damage to all undamaged enemy minions. So this card, for me anyways, I guess I'll get it started a little bit. This card, it saw a little bit of play in some Death Rattle Rogue stuff. Actually, Freshka, who's in the chat, gave me a pretty cool Death Rattle Rogue, and it ran Dark Iron Skulkers and a Anubarak. Actually, yeah, Kevin, remember that deck? We played that a little bit.
And a Anubarak is one of those cards that I'm super excited about now too, but
yeah. The hard part was, again, I think, same with Mounted Raptor, wasn't that it, Old Gods made this card good. It's more the rotation made this card good. Losing a lot of Death Rattle cards really helped this card quite a bit. And so, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense to see that back. It was actually seeing a little bit of a boost with so much Zoo back in the day, because that card's really good against Zulok, with all the, you know, the imps and things like that. And so, yeah, so it makes a lot of sense to see it back, and I'm excited to see it back. Kevin, I'm interested in about your thoughts too.
I think this is the same problem we've discussed on a lot of these other cards. Before all those Death Rattle minions rotated out with Standard, it always just felt like this was way too slow. It's a 3-mana body, right? So you need to get a fair bit of value out of the Battle Cry effect for you to feel like it's okay to play a 3-mana body on turn 5 or later. And you often needed a follow-up because a lot of the minions you were trying to clear had more health. You needed to be able to do that and then play a Fan of Knives or some other follow-up that you might have set up with, like, an SI7, depending on what's on the board, right? Now, this can be such a huge swing potential against any kind of Zoo deck, any of the, like, aggro paladin decks, any of the decks that are really keen on tokens and lots of bodies and flooding the board. It is too bad that it is an undamaged minion effect, because if it was just 2 damage to enemy minions, I think this would be totally backbreaking. As it stands, it's still seeing a lot of play, but it's a lot of times, I think, doing the same job that a Fan of Knives would do by clearing tokens. So I think this is one of those cards that people are experimenting with really heavily right now because it feels good, but it may be one that doesn't actually see a lot of play and doesn't stick around in the competitive rogue lists as people sort of figure out what they need to combat on ladder. That's my take. JR?
Sure.
I think Rogue's in a very interesting place right now. I think it's a lot better than people were giving it credit for last week when they announced the Blade Flurry nerf. People were saying Rogue was going to be trash tier, but I think Rogue is actually, and I said this last week, Rogue's going to be in a very good place with this meta, and simply because of what cards are going out, or what cards went out of Standard. Because the problem that Rogue had ever since GVG was the sticky minions. Like, it just simply could not keep up. Like, its whole idea is to kill minions, but if you're killing minions and a new minion comes up, you're always behind. And that's why, like, board clears like Blade Flurry ended up being very good for Rogue. But with that gone now and sticky minions gone, Rogue's in a pretty good place in this card, dealing with, like, Zoo, any kind of aggro shaman, any kind of deck that is all about, like, flooding the board early, this card does very well. Once those decks go away, you'll probably see this card go out. But as of right now, it's really solid card, and it's a card that I hadn't seen in a long time and is suddenly back and being played. I've seen it in almost every rogue deck I played against now.
Yeah, I think Rogue is going to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of the sort of like game-wide nerf to silence by upcosting Iron Beak Owl and nerfing Keeper of the Grove, because they're getting value out of being able to play Skulker on five instead of worrying about any of the competitive five drops that you used to fill that spot. They're getting value now back out of Unearthed Raptor. I maintain that with how little silence, I haven't seen a single silence played since I started playing after Old Gods, not one. And I think stuff like Anubarak, stuff that people just looked at and wrote off for Death Rattle Rogue and all the things that would make Rogue work, now all of a sudden there's definitely potential there. I also have seen people bouncing Skulker or using the card that lets you make a 1-1 for one copy of a card and using it on Skulker because it's such an obvious killer answer to Zoo decks and board flood stuff, and you can use it to just like wipe up a board that's been made by Infinite Tentacles or Stand Against Dudes or whatever. There's lots of those cards that just do not survive against a Skulker. So
yeah. Kev, tell us about Nourish if you would.
I would love to. This was one of those cards that everybody loved back in the day and just fell off the face of the earth because, once again, too slow. Nourish is a 5-mana druid spell that gives you a choose one option of either gaining 2 mana crystals, and you gain these 2 mana crystals on the current turn filled, not empty, like you would with a wild growth, or drawing 3 cards. This card is back for a couple of reasons. One, the Ancient of Lore nerf, so there's just not as many good ways to refill your hand as there used to be, and you're not necessarily happy in the late game to be just trying to cycle using your otherwise unused wild growths, right? You need some way to cycle cards in Druid now that's a little bit more effective. Two, because this is the scariest thing on the planet if you can play this on curve or even close to on curve behind a Fandral. If you can gain 2 mana crystals and draw 3 cards, that's incredible. That's probably one of the best value plays that exists in the game is playing Nourish behind Fandral right now. In terms of raw tempo, I don't know that there's a whole lot that's better. I think this is a card that people sort of forgot about because you didn't need it. It just didn't make sense to try and worry about ramping up to it and using it to get up to a 6 or a 7 cost minion in the early game because you didn't have to worry about that as Druid. You had so many killer sticky bodies in the mid game that Druid just didn't care about getting further than that. This is one of those cards that's set up to allow Druid to stay competitive after both players have stabilized. And if you can't reload your hand, the class that can or the player that can tends to win, right? The player that has choices and can draw into their removal tends to be the one who comes out ahead. So I think this was a really natural thing to see come back. And I'm, for one, really glad that it did, because I think this is a way more reasonable thing to play around than Ancient of Lore. It's way nicer to deal with this spell than a 5/5 body and 2 cards filling your opponent's hand on turn 7. This is a clean, simple, answerable way for Druid to get back in the game when they've run out of steam otherwise, but you don't feel like you're punished by them playing it.
Right. Just to expound on a couple points, I feel like Druid pre-standard was really a race to turn 4 or turn 5, right? You're just trying to get there as fast as possible using any kind of mana cheat you can to get there. Whereas that's not really the case anymore. It's kind of more to get to your larger minions as well. And then obviously the nerfs to lore really made this a lot better too, because Druid needs card draw, and 1-for-1 is still, you know, fine, but you know, you're not, you know, refilling your hand nearly as fast with a lore if you're running a lore. Whereas this one, I mean, 3 cards, 5 mana could be much worse. So yeah, those are the only 2 points I would expound on. And JR, anything else?
No, I've been seeing this also in some of the C'Thun Druid decks that I've ran against. People either try to use it early if they're ramping up to get a very quick early C'Thun out, which is actually really powerful if you get a C'Thun out like turn 5.
Yeah.
Imagine that. But also late game, you can use it to try to dig for your C'Thun if you don't have it in your hand.
Right. All right. Well, last but not least, JR, this was your pick of a card, so I'll let you talk us through Sylvanas.
Yeah, so Sylvanas is the classic legendary, neutral legendary. We saw back in the day, 6 mana, 5/5, with a death rattle of take control of a random enemy minion. I have been seeing this in so many decks lately. It's an obvious counter to C'Thun to begin with. It's basically a turn 9 Lotheb against C'Thun decks, because you plop it out and they're like, oh, nope, not gonna do that yet. Mainly because if she takes control, well, no, I think Yogg-Saron also, because if she takes control of your Yogg-Saron, Yogg-Saron will start casting spells for you midway through, which is hilarious, by the way. Not the same with, I don't believe that's the same with C'Thun. But you get control of the big body in that case. And just the fact that there's a lot of like really big creatures coming out, that she's a good counter for that. She has basically become the new Dr. Boom in a way by becoming the old Dr. Boom, because she was really good before GVG. Like, she was played a lot in classic Hearthstone. But then after Dr. Boom came out, she was around in, some control warrior decks, things like that. But you didn't see her very often. And, now you see her in almost every deck. I play her in almost every one of my decks, except for my Shaman deck, which is the one that I've been playing the most, but, I haven't needed her in that one yet.
I'm with you all the way up until Sylvanas being old Dr. Boom. So back when Sylvanas was 5 mana, maybe, but once it went to 6, I don't think it ever went to those power levels again. The old days with Nat Pagel, Tinkmaster Overspark, and Sylvanas in every deck, like, sure, I can get that. That's the only thing I'd disagree with that. Everything else, I completely agree with, but I definitely want to hear what Kevin has to say.
I mean, I'm on board with what you guys are saying for the most part. I think Sylvanas is the beneficiary of a couple things. She's the beneficiary of the number of new interactions with Deathrattle. She has to be an auto-include in Deathrattle Hunter, any Nazoth deck. Like, there's just a lot of reasons to play Sylvanas again. And like JR said, a very like natural, playable counter to a lot of the big, fatty late-game minions, since every deck right now feels like it's playing a 10-drop. Having said that, I think she's one of those cards where, as people realize they have to go back to more controlled lists, like, everybody right now is playing the cards that facilitate their own win condition. They're not playing anything that answers what their opponents are going to do, because no one has any idea. No one has teched in answers because they just don't know what they're going to see on the ladder. So there's no silences and there's no BGHs and there's no board clears. And as people start to go back to running those things, I think Sylvanas will become a liability in certain types of decks again, because there's not going to be the same room for her in your deck that there is right now. Personally, I am enjoying the fact that people are running her so much, because I'm playing Priest and she's my first Entomb target in almost every game right now. But I think it'll be one of those things where people will stop running Sylvanas if there's a consistent answer to her being played. If people bring back silences, if they bring back board clears, Sylvanas is the first thing that people say, okay, I'm not going to get value from this. What can I put in that slot where I can get value? And she rotates back out.
Yeah. Cool. Well, if you guys have additional thoughts about different cards you're seeing in the meta coming back and want to see them in a Where Are They Now segment, send us an email to wellmet@blizzbro.com, and if we get enough, we'll go ahead and talk about them. But that concludes this week's thing of Where Are They Now? Segment. That was the word. Segment. Let's talk about another.
Good word choice.
Let's talk about another thing.
Beat him or join him.
Ah, oh, no.
All right. So there's really no way to do an accurate meta report of any kind right now, because there's just no meta. It's YOLO coin flip. Who knows is the meta right now. But there is a report out on manacrystals.com detailing some of the popular decks that people are copying and using because they're seeing results with them. Mana Crystals has spotlighted 3 decks that they feel are being particularly effective right now. A mid-range shaman list that focuses on Flame-Wreathed Faceless, Thing from Below, Totem Golems, and Tuskar Totemic. So it's kind of a slightly tweaked aggro shaman, honestly. It just happens to have a few things that carry it into the mid-game, so it doesn't run out of steam the way a traditional aggro deck might. They're highlighting Tempo Warrior, which I haven't seen at all, but apparently Zyxo took a version of it to rank 1 legend in EU, and it's a deck list that runs stuff that might surprise you. It's a lot of value plays, runs Fierce Monkey, Blood to Icker, Arathi Weaponsmith, and Malkorok to generate weapons, Bloodhoof Braves. In general, just like good sort of tempo efficient plays. And then the other one is Color Everyone Shocked, Zoo Warlock. And the version that's being shown here is a version that is being attributed to Modern Leper and runs exactly what you'd expect. The Darkshire Councilman Forbidden Ritual package alongside all of the new stuff that's mandatory. You got Possessed Villagers. People are still running, obviously, Dark Peddler. We're still seeing Knife Juggler despite everything. And usually tech cards like Gormok and Sea Giant. So... is there anything in those decks, you guys, that you're surprised by this early in the first few days of a new season with a new set?
I can't say I'm necessarily surprised by any of them. I am surprised that Tempo Warrior is doing so well. It seems to be one of the few that is actually kind of mostly all new. Like, there's so many, like, brand new cards. That's kind of weird because it kind of sometimes feels almost half Patron Warrior without the patron kind of thing. It really is what it reminded me of. But with, you know, you got Varian in there, Malkorok, you've got Cairn. I love Cairn. It used to be my favorite, one of my favorite cards. It used to be so good in vanilla Hearthstone. And you know, Ragnaros is back. Like, there's really, really cool new cards. This deck also has wrecked me on ladder a few times, so definitely a great card. I'm just surprised that somebody has done this much iterating on what a Tempo Warrior would look like so early on in the expansion. These types of decks where you have 10, 11, 12 cards that are completely different, these types of decks typically don't show up for a couple weeks after an expansion hits, not a couple days.
But this is an archetype that hasn't seen play hardly at all, right? Like, we last saw something resembling a Tempo Warrior, not a Face Warrior, not a Control Warrior, but something resembling a Tempo Warrior, probably before, I want to say before GVG. Like, it's been that long because there was just way too much sticky, scary mid-game stuff, and it was too slow even against stuff like Mechmage. Back in the day, like, you were just so vulnerable to a Snow Chugger, you were so vulnerable to getting curved out on and all the divine shields and taunts and stuff. Like, it was just, you couldn't do it. Whereas now you look at this list and you think, yeah, actually, like, if you're slapping down Ravaging Ghouls or Whirlwinds to clear the board, you've got Frothing Berserker in there to build up a big scary turn. Bloodhoof Brave is super hard to get through. It's just lots of health for a four drop, right? Malkorok, we talked about on the show last week as kind of a surprise. Like, this card actually is way better than people are giving it credit for because it's a great body with a great tempo advantage by generating that free weapon. Same reason that Arathi Weaponsmith, a card we haven't seen since Face Warrior, is back in this deck. Like, I think it's cool. The other thing I wanted to kind of point out was there is a version of the N'Zoth Paladin in this report as well. And I hate that deck. I hate everything about it. It's all of the things that, like, make Freeze Mage and all of those super late control game decks just frustrating to play against. Don't play N'Zoth Paladin, guys. Be better than that.
I actually haven't seen the Temple Warrior that much. It has been pretty good when I played against it, but I haven't seen it that much. But I'm definitely not surprised to see it. Like you said, we were talking last week, Malkorok would be a perfect fit into a Temple Warrior deck. And there are a lot of cards that really pointed to Warrior was going to go in that direction.
Yeah. Which is cool, because, I mean, the Control Warrior archetype has gone 100% to C'Thun, right? There's no reason... I don't think you can play Control Warrior without playing C'Thun right now, because you need the Ancient Shieldbearer to have a chance to stick around. I think it's just right. That's what you play, is you play C'Thun Control.
Yeah, and Zoo is just picking up where it left off, especially with that Darkshire Councilman and Forbidden Ritual. Like, that combo by itself is
gross.
It's ridiculous. Like, I like gross. How Darkshire Councilman was, like, one of those cards that they didn't, like, reveal in the weeks coming until, like, right at the end when they dumped it all. And they're like,
it was like a
here's
Facebook
all the cards.
Post. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like it was on, like, Facebook with all, like, 20, 30 other cards. And it's all like, hey, this really good card is going to go into Zoo now. So that was sort of surprising to see that when it came out. It's not surprising to see it played all the time right now in the zoo. As far as like the shaman deck, yeah, like I see that very, very often right now in the ladder. This version of it with the flame wreath faceless, which I'm actually not a huge fan of. It's a really good card. I will say it's a really good card. What I don't like about it in the decks that I play is I want to do a turn 5 Doomhammer. I don't want it to get delayed. And there's other cards that I play on turn 4 that I like. So it just hasn't fit into the deck that I play.
I will say that there's definitely advantages to running less overload right now, because Shaman has so many choices, they don't really need to. Like, unless you're actually playing to an overload strategy that involves using the overload cancellation or unbound elementals, like, you can just do better. You can have better, more consistent plays, and I think generate better overall tempo. But having said that, 7/7 for 4 is awesome. Even 7/7 for 6, if you count the overload, it's still stupid how good it is.
Yeah,
I think it's a better Fel Reaver is what it is.
Yeah. No, it is really good early game. It's just there's other things that it depends on the deck you're trying to play. And the deck I'm trying to play right now, it'll hinder it too much. The other deck that I really like that I've been seeing have really good results on the ladder, though, and they also mentioned this, is the Numerical Rogue. With Zerold, Poison Mind, and Shadow Strike, which is crazy. I've been seeing Assassinate being played a lot again lately, ever since they've taken out the sticky minions. Assassinate has made a comeback as well, but Shadow Strike is really, really good right now. I see that in almost every rogue deck I've played against.
There's a part of me, like an evil, terrible part of me, that really hopes the next set just brings back, like, some variant of Haunted Creeper. Like, I never want to see Shredder again. I never want to see Belcher again, but I want to see them, like, turn this whole thing on its ear by adding sticky minions back and being like, all right, now what? Now you have all these tempo plays that you can't do because you need to answer these sticky minions again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, is that about hit our meta report? That feel about good?
Unless there's something that wasn't in the report that you really want to call specific attention to.
Really? I do want to know what you guys are going to be running this next week.
I'm playing Priest, but that's just because I'm trying to get Gold Priest, and I think Dragon Priest is doing super well right now, or at least the version I'm running is really good. If I wasn't going to do that, like if I was strictly just looking at what I'm seeing on the ladder and trying to beat it, I would probably go play Patron right now.
Okay.
I'm playing 4 different decks right now. The main one that I'm playing was the Hybrid Shaman that I was talking about. That's the main one that I've been laddering with. And whenever I tilt a little bit with that, I'll switch to C'Thun Druid, and I'll play that for a bit. And then I'll play, if I get bored with that and I just want to play something, I'll play this Warlock Zoo with Dark Councilman and try to win with that every once in a while. My favorite one, though, that I play that John hates is the Yogg-Saron Mage deck. So,
thank you.
Got you.
I love it.
Respect.
I win with it. You gotta praise Yogg-Saron, and if you do that, he will do good things for you and not crossbolt you in the face.
Yogg-Saron is the, like, you're playing chess with your opponent, you just flip the board and walk out of the room. Like, I just, no. I refuse.
It works.
There will be no fun had here. This is a serious podcast about serious card games.
Rank 5 or Riot. That's how serious.
Get your RNG out of my wizard poker.
I know. Yeah. I just honestly, I'm fine with Yogg-Saron. I just hate Cabalist Tome. But
and I play with that in the deck, and it has done very well for me.
Nah.
I played against it, and some guy used Flame Strike on 4 consecutive turns, and that was the day I decided it was maybe it has the potential to be a good card.
I mean, Kevin is on board.
Not on board. I hated it. I hated every moment of it.
Kevin, please tell him that it doesn't make Cabalist Tome good. Please.
It doesn't. It's tempo negative in the worst way.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that back up. You can send your
angry hate
mail
next week
to
PvP right here on Well Met.
Kevin Hovdestad at kevinhovdestad.org.
Yeah, don't send it to me because I'm on your side with thinking that card's fun and all right.
You're on my
side.
I'm not going to say
the listener's side that sends you hate mail. I'm on their side.
Don't send anybody hate mail. Chill out and let people have opinions. And that's okay. Let's move on.
We've got mail.
We don't. Stop, guys. Send us your email. Especially now. Especially now that there is no more to card reviews, so we don't have to fill 60 minutes worth of card reviews. We got a lot of time to talk about what you guys want to hear about. So send us your emails, wellmet@blizzpro.com. This felt a little bit short. We're at an hour here.
It's okay. It's a good feeling. We don't have 68 cards to talk about for a change.
I have 20 minutes more to go play Hearthstone.
We're gonna give you guys a break. You don't have to listen to us for an hour and a half this week. It'll only be about an hour 10, hour 15. So that'll be pretty good. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out in chat. If you want to check us out live, you can at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We do want to thank our friends of the show, Sean G, Martin Z, and Albert T, for supporting the show so outrageously generously. We really appreciate it. You can find out more at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. iTunes reviews. JR. Wait, before we even go there, we got to celebrate, don't we?
We really do. This is a big week for us guys on reviews for two reasons. Number one, we have not one, not two, not three, but 8 new 5-star reviews this week, which is totally unprecedented. We've never had a week this good in reviews ever. And they're from all over the world. We've got Canada, US, EU, everybody showed up in spades this week. So thank you so much for that. Number two, John, do the honors.
We have hit 100 US iTunes reviews. So congrats, guys.
We did it. So awesome.
We're going to do the long applause here.
You guys made this happen.
We're going to sit here through the whole dang applause. You will sit and like it and be thankful for it. So we did. Thank you guys so much. Hopefully we see you at 200 and can do another long applause break. So sorry, JR. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Give us the iTunes reviews.
Yeah, so like they were saying, you guys are putting me to work this week. So from Canada, we have a review from Rip J. Dia, and from Ice4994, and from Gavodin. I love trying to pronounce some of these names. From Norway.
This next one's going to be amazing.
From Norway, Skeletrog. Skeletrog.
What's that, Kev? No,
don't worry about it.
Kev, yeah. I want to hear that again. What is it?
Come on, Kev.
Come on, Kev.
Come on.
I see you hovering over your soundboard record button. JR, finish us out. We got four more to go.
Go back and record anytime I want.
From the USA, we have Mandrew B, Size Row, Valley
Sir Zero.
Kid.
It's Sir Zero. I know that person.
Oh, Sir
Thank
Zero.
You, friend.
Sorry. Valley Kid and Esta Mike. Thank you so much for those iTunes reviews. If you would like to give us an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone. You'll find Walmet listed on there.
And, right near the tippy top.
That, click the little 5-star review, leave a review, and I'll read your name and butcher it. It'll be a good time.
Yes, I love that. All right, well, let's go ahead and get out of here. Shoutouts for the week. Kev.
I mean, this week should be cool. I'm looking forward to doing some family stuff. My sister's coming to visit, come see the new condo. Like I said, I did get a chance to test my streaming setup, got the new vectors, everything's working. So I'll probably actually stream tonight. I got nowhere to be, nothing to do. So I'm going to probably boot it up for a while and hang out with you guys if you want. If you want to join me on Twitch, you can come find me at twitch.tv/OdenTV. That's Odin with 2 N's. And that's probably going to be a just about daily thing, because really, with the place to myself, anytime I sit down to play some games, I'm just going to boot it up and hang out with you guys.
Cool. What about you, JR?
I would just like to give a shout out to all of our awesome shows on BlizzPro lately. I've been killing it. Westmarch Workshop, which you can catch here every Wednesday. They're Diablo related. Thursday, catching the Payload podcast here with John, Kevin, and Jimmy. and on Tuesdays, Catching the Heroes Power Hour, if you like Heroes of the Storm. Diablo, in particular, has been a lot of fun lately with the new season just coming out. So if you're into Diablo and want to come hang out, we do have a pretty awesome Blizz Pro clan. Those guys on that podcast have hit like America top five in all the hardcore conquests this week, which is just crazy.
Nerds.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, as for me, I'm hopefully moving into my new apartment sometime next week, but I've got bad news. I will not be on the show next week. I'm going to be in Minnesota. So Kevin and JR are going to be figuring things out. They're going to figure out something to do. I don't know what they're going to do.
Gonna do a show.
So yeah. I'm gonna be in Minnesota. My brother's graduating, so congrats to Nate for graduating. And I was also on, shout out to Pat Crane and the CTR guys, Convert to Raid. I guested last week. I was on Convert to Raid, and that was like a dream come true for me. So if you want kind of an all-encompassing Blizzard podcast with a main focus in World of Warcraft, you should go check it out. It's one of the best, if not the best, podcast general, but definitely Blizzard-based podcast. So go check that out. And I think that's going to do it for us this week. You can tune in together with your friends live every Sunday on twitch.tv/BlizzPro at 7 p.m. Pacific. Or find us on your favorite podcast outlets. For updates throughout the week, follow us on Twitter at WellMet Podcast. And WellMet is entirely supported by our fans. Find out more at patreon.com/WellMet Podcast. We also have a merch store at store.blizzbro.com. Go ahead and check it out. And as always, a big thank you to Jake Buttineau at jakebuttineau.ca. jakebuttineau.ca for our music and site designs for our graphics. Thank you again for joining us for episode 58 of Well Met. We will see you next time.
Well Met is a production of BlizzPro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.